Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Well, it must be said, some very damning findings from that review of child and adolescent mental health services in South Kerry today. We're going to be getting all the details from Barry Lenehan in just a moment, but we'd also like to hear from you on this. And have you had reason to seek help from the state for mental health services? And it doesn't have to be child, it can be child, adolescent or adult mental health services. And if you have had reason to seek help, what has your experience been? The Taoiseach has said this morning there's record investment going into mental health services in the state. Can you see it on the ground? You can text us your thoughts to 51551 and you can tweet the programme as well today at DriveTimeRTE. Now, the Taoiseach has described that report into the care of more than 1,300 children who attended mental health services in Kerry as shocking, very serious and unacceptable. As we've been hearing on the programme this week, scores of young people in South Kerry were prescribed dangerously excessive amounts of medication over a four-year period up to last year. Today, the HSE's review of the issue has found how significant harm has been caused to at least 46 children. This includes considerable weight gain, sleepiness during the day, elevated blood pressure and the production of breast milk. 227 children were exposed to the risk of significant harm, such as growth disturbance, serious weight gain, slowed thinking and psychological distress. Now, the government is to conduct a nationwide audit of child and adolescent mental health services as a result of these findings. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has been following this story for us. He's in Leinster House and joins us now. And Barry, it's stark reading for so many people. What jumps out is a litany of missed opportunities.
Hello.
Barry, can you hear us okay? I was asking you about the missed opportunities outlined in the report.
Yes, my apologies, Sarah. Just a connection line there. Yeah, just talking to you here from Leinster House, and really people here struggling to comprehend some of the details in that report which we have here this evening, and wondering, as the Taoiseach intimated this afternoon, whether the problems identified far from here in Killarney and the Iveragh Peninsula are just the tip of the iceberg. You mentioned the side effects there. We heard them over the last few days, how children have lost their sparkle like zombies due to the alleged overprescribing of drugs. And this review, looking back on 1,330 case files from between July 2016 and August 2021, mainly associated with the work of one particular doctor, and more details in this report today in relation to what exactly happened over the misprescription of drugs. In particular, the report identifying a rush to identify children with ADHD in particular, and also outlining how the doctor in question, how there were several cases where he prescribed too many drugs to a child at a particular time, with 31 children identified in the review as having been prescribed four different categories of medicine, and two children identified would be given five different drugs. And you mentioned the missed opportunity and the chances to prevent further harm not being taken, and the supervision of the doctor involved. That's called into question in this review as well, that those in charge didn't identify his experience, skills, ability or limitations as problems developed. Concerns first reported about the doctor in 2018, but the review team found how there was no proof these concerns were addressed after being reported. And a year later, concerns about prescribing medication were clear, but the doctor supervisor advised changes rather than insisting they happened. And also we learn how regular checks, such as those of pulse, blood pressure, height and weight, they weren't always taken before prescribing an antipsychotic to a child. And those really the expected standard of care or common practice to happen before medicines are prescribed to children, particularly those we're talking here, such as the antipsychotic risperidone.
There were other red flags too about the doctor at the heart of this review, which weren't acted upon.
That's right, yes. We also learn in this review how he was known to have been working excessive hours, and his colleagues reported him tired, if not exhausted. This review, it covers the period 2016 to 2021, and the doctor at the centre of this controversy is advertised as practising in private cosmetic medicine, including Botox, at certain points in that period. The review also found how in 2020 the doctor was still regarded as, quote, hardworking and an important asset to CAMHS, even though there were attempts to address concerns about their prescribing practices at this point. But because of a, quote, perceived threat to service continuity, he remained in situ in CAMHS despite those concerns being raised as far as 2 years earlier, although he was at this point taken off the adult mental health on call rota. There was also a new senior medical manager starting in the South Kerry service in 2020, but the concerns about this particular doctor were never handed over to them. And the report also documents in some detail how members of South Kerry CAMHS tried to escalate requests for more resources and greater staffing amid an increasing workload, but those requests largely went ignored.
So when people then are asking why these opportunities were missed to stop these harmful practices at an earlier point, it all appears to come down to a question of resources.
Yeah, this is a national issue, isn't it, with regards CAMHS and resources. And the report, it paints a picture in South Kerry anyway of a service with too much work and too little oversight. There's been no clinical lead for South Kerry CAMHS for the past several years. And this was identified as one of the reasons for failing to provide and keep a high quality service. There's also been no consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist for South Kerry since 2016. There still isn't one today, and not enough attention has been paid, concluded the review's chief author, Dr. Sean Maskey, to the possible risks associated with this job being vacant. The consultant who was supervising the doctor in question here, he didn't see the problems as they developed in 2017 and 2018. Problems such as mixing drugs, which really shouldn't have been mixed at all, such as antipsychotics and antidepressants, the report says. And all this happened while the proportion of referrals seen by South Kerry CAMHS was, quote, noticeably higher than the national average. Now, the CAMHS governance group for the area also comes in for criticism, as it didn't seek to check whether the service was functioning safely and effectively. And the individual manager's concerns, the report notes, was simply on the performance of their staff being line managed, the review found, rather than to ensure the service was, quote, working safely and effectively.
And of course, the issue then of the retention of medical records and record keeping, this is also highlighted by Dr. Maskey as of major concern within South Kerry CAMHS.
Yeah, this is something that we have heard over the past 2 days as well. And Dr. Maskey reveals how the service has and had no shared diary. So essentially, reception staff, they didn't know who was turning up for an appointment or which doctor was working on a case. It's believed, the report identifies a number of cases, I think over 120, which were lost to follow, i.e. not adequate follow-up happened. When medication was prescribed, and it found that 26 children found harm because of the lack to adequately follow up and monitor the different medications, the effects of the different medications they may have been on. Medical records, they weren't being kept. In some cases, one patient's records were recorded in another patient's file. The review team found 2 missing referrals, 10 missing full case records, while 136 of the 1,300 files had gaps, and for 92 of those, the absent information meant that patients had to be recalled to ensure no harm was caused. We also learn how doctors in South Kerry CAMHS could remove files without signing them out, and neither staff nor managers knew how to authorise the file room door being locked as a possible solution to this problem.
So Barry, what are the other key findings then?
Well, ultimately, we have 35 recommendations in this report in terms of moving forward from here. There's lots of detail which will shock people perhaps in the most, but ultimately 35 recommendations that children and their families should be involved in the governance structure, that a full-time consultant psychiatrist must be recruited as a priority for the service, and that a working group needs to be set up to look at the future of the service in South Kerry as well. CAM's operational guidelines dating back to 2015, they weren't followed by this service, and it is recommended that those guidelines and the ones that have been updated should be followed as well. And ultimately, it recommends a series of issues to ensure greater governance and greater oversight going forward.
What is happening then in the Dáil where you are this afternoon?
Yes, just standing outside here at Leinster House, as you appreciate, probably a little busy in the background and lots of noise during leaders' questions earlier on around this issue, and really the findings, many politicians from the Kerry constituency saying that they are quite extreme, that they were perhaps worse than they ever even could have imagined. But during leaders' questions in the Dáil, the leader of the Social Democrats, Roisin Shorthall, she put down first on the record of the House the effects of those children impacted.
Taoiseach, the report into South Kerry CAMHS is truly shocking and so distressing for all of the families concerned. 46 children suffered significant harm, including lethargy, distress, raised blood pressure, significant weight gain, and even the production of breast milk. The trauma these children and their families endured is unimaginable. The damage caused to children would not have been as long-lasting or as extensive if he had been properly supervised. But he wasn't, of course. Is anyone other than the junior doctor involved going to lose their job or even be formally reprimanded? Is the government going to authorise a wider inquiry into CAM services around the country?
Now, TDs from the Kerry constituency were told last night that this review is to be extended into North Kerry as well, amid concerning allegations perhaps in that part of the county too. But as the Taoiseach rose to his feet to respond to Roisin Shorthall, he confirmed that a national audit of CAMHS will also be undertaken.
It is shocking, it is very, very serious, and it's unacceptable. And it represents a damning indictment of the service. The first principle of medicine is to do no harm. Children were harmed here by a complete failure of clinical performance and oversight. In my view, it demands a fundamental review, not just of South Kerry, but of the overall situation. So following the publication of the report, there will be a full audit nationwide of compliance with CAMHS operational guidelines by all CAMHS teams. In addition, a prescribing audit will be conducted in each of the 72 CAMHS teams to include a random selection of files proportional to the medical caseload from a continuous 6 months predefined time period in 2021.
And just briefly then, Barry, what else is being said there at Leinster House this evening, and what of the HSE?
Well, on the HSE personnel saying they would investigate claims and allegations by a whistleblower in this case weren't adequately followed up on. They've also reiterated apologies to affected young people and their families, and point again to a helpline which is open to those this evening.
All right, Barry Lenehan, thank you very much for bringing us that report. And later on the programme, we're going to be returning to this story. We'll be speaking to Minister for Mental Health, Mary Butler, and we'll be getting reaction from one of the families affected.
Controversy about the HSE's mental health service for children and adolescents continue today, and my thanks to you for texting the programme about your experience to 51551. We'll get to those a little bit later on. The HSE published a report of an investigation into the treatment given to 1,300 children in South Kerry. Scores of children suffered significant harm and hundreds were exposed to a serious risk of harm, including sedation, emotional and cognitive blunting, growth disturbance, serious weight changes and psychological distress while under the care of a junior doctor within the HSE. The report concludes there was no system to check the prescribing of medications or the quality of service by the junior doctor's supervisors. Shocking and unacceptable is how the Taoiseach described the report today in the Dáil. He's also promised a nationwide audit of the HSE's mental health service for children and adolescents. Before we came on air, I spoke with the Minister with Special Responsibility for Mental Health, Mary Butler, and asked her for her response to the report.
Cormac, the report outlines a catalogue of failures across multiple levels of child and adolescent mental health supports in Kerry South. When I read the report on Sunday evening, I was just shocked. It's just unacceptable. I thought the report was very comprehensive and I thought the report was very, very hard-hitting, especially in relation to the key contributory factors. But if I could just say at the outset, today my thoughts are with the children affected and their families, and I know how difficult today is for them.
These parents and children have been screaming in frustration about the service they're getting for a number of years now. And the report says that there were concerns reported about this junior doctor, which the review or investigation focuses on. There were concerns about this junior doctor first reported in 2018. But the report says no proof was found that these concerns were addressed after being reported. Why not? Why weren't they addressed?
There's two aspects to the report. So it's the NCHD, the junior doctor, who was put in charge of the care of many, many children with a very hefty caseload. But also there's the other issues in relation to no governance, no oversight and no formal supervision. And for me, I think the fact that when concerns were raised in 2018 and no effective action was evident to address them, that for me is absolutely damning, because I believe 2 whole years of overprescribing could have been avoided.
Damning of?
I think it's damning of the service that was in the service that was in Kerry at that time.
We know it's damning of the service, and the children, especially, and their parents know. But the lack of oversight, what is that damning of, or who is it damning of?
It's a complete failure of the HSE to deliver services, appropriate child and adolescent mental health supports to a lot of children in the Kerry area.
So will anybody be held accountable as a result of that?
Well, I would imagine that this report, this is the first part of the report, a comprehensive, hard-hitting report, which outlines, this report doesn't hold back, Cormac. The key contributory factors are very, very clear in relation to no formal supervision, no oversight, no governance. And it also states very, very clearly in the large report in relation to a consultant psychiatrist, so CP2, who was meant to have oversight, who raised concerns on occasions that their caseload was too high and that they could only oversee complex reports. It is a complete and utter failing. And obviously,
a failing by whom exactly? You're saying the HSE. Concerns were first raised by about this junior doctor in 2018. Nothing was done. Can I ask you first, do you think if something had been done at the time, that serious harm could have been prevented to children?
I don't know whether serious harm could have been prevented to the 46 children, but I do know that children wouldn't have been over-medicated for 4 years if action had been taken after 2 years.
Would they have suffered sedation or emotional and cognitive blunting, I wonder?
I would imagine that they probably would have suffered that anyway, having been medicated in some instances for 2 years. Because I've heard various reports on your own programmes of parents whose children did suffer very many side effects. And obviously for some children it went on longer than others.
My point is, if when the red flag was raised in 2018, if action had been taken then, the period between 2018 and now, those children, hundreds of them, could have been protected from that type of risk. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And I suppose one of the key contributory factors states quite clearly 2B, when concerns about NCHD1's practice was first described in 2018, no effective action was evident to address
them. And my question is why?
That I can't answer. And
why
it doesn't state in the report why, because obviously
was the department made aware of these concerns in 2018?
No.
Why not?
That I can't answer because we weren't. The department was not made aware. I was made aware myself as minister last April when the chief officer of CHO4, Michael Fitzgerald, initiated the look back review.
Okay.
After they did a trawl of 70 files.
Slowly, if you don't mind here.
Yeah.
Who was made aware in 2018 of these serious concerns about the junior doctor?
I can only assume, after having many conversations, that it was other personnel in South Kerry CAMHS. That's all I can assume, because the report doesn't say.
You're saying nobody at a senior central level in the HSE even?
To my knowledge, I am not aware of anybody in the HSE at a senior level outside of Kerry CAMHS being informed.
This is even more serious than I thought then, because not alone were concerns first raised in 2018 about this junior doctor. There was no ambiguity about the concerns. That's clearly outlined in the report. You're saying that the department was not made aware of them. You're saying the HSE centrally was not made aware of them. And what was happening then? The report says, notwithstanding the concerns that were raised, the junior doctor was recommended for other jobs in 2020.
You're absolutely right. And this is the point that we have to get to. In September 2016, multidisciplinary team members in Kerry South raised concerns about the lack of consultant presence. CP2 raised concerns in November 2016 that they could not manage the caseloads. May 2017, CP2 raised that they did not have capacity to provide full-time cover but would oversee complex cases. And it was in 2018 when a consultant psychiatrist, a locum, was asked to supervise NCHD1. He raised concerns at that stage, a locum psychiatrist who came in, and he stated that NCHD1 was micromanaging patients with medication and he was isolated from the multidisciplinary team. And for me, that is the most damning part of the report, that action wasn't taken then. And 2 years...
But how, as a government and as a minister, you can oversee a regime or a system in place that allows a junior doctor to exert such influence without adequate oversight, and no inspections or audits show up that failing to a central body? How does that system continue?
Well, that system cannot continue any longer. And thankfully, this has been shown up to have happened in one particular area. And I will be quite honest with you. I did contact my predecessor in this role to know had he any knowledge of this. And he did not.
Who's your predecessor?
My predecessor was former Minister Jim Daly. And I contacted his advisor yesterday to know did they have any information at all in relation to this. And they did not.
Obviously, do you know if the senior minister for health, Stephen Donnelly, knew of this?
No.
Did the previous minister for health, Simon Harris, know of this?
I don't know about Minister Harris, but I do know the only information that Minister Donnelly received was from myself.
Okay, so let's get this straight. You're saying that the mental health service and the reporting and auditing and inspection regime in place, the oversight regime, was inadequate or dysfunctional. But what is also quite clear is that the inspection or audit or oversight regime that runs parallel with that, the governance regime, of which the political and department is part of, that was also dysfunctional because you did not know what was going on. Would you accept that?
I would even go further than that. There was no governance. There was absolutely no governance whatsoever. There was no oversight and there was no formal supervision. It was non-existent from what I have read in the report. Non-existent, any type of oversight available to this NCHD. So that's the point I'm coming back to. There's two facets to this. There's a doctor who was put in post without experience to deal with children because they couldn't find anyone else to fill the post.
And
coupled with the fact that even though when he went into post, he was meant to have, there was meant to be formal supervision and oversight and governance, it did not happen according to the report. And obviously, I can only go off what was in the report. And I would like to compliment Dr. Sean Maskey because I believe it's a comprehensive report. It's hard hitting. It doesn't hold back. And I think that's very, very important because often we have reports that are redacted. This report is exactly every word that Dr. Sean Maskey reported on.
One more question about the junior doctor, which the report focuses on. Is he or she still in the service?
No.
He could work for the HSE at the moment, isn't that right?
Oh, I assume he could if he was hired, but he's not currently working for the HSE.
Roisin Shortall described this system in South Kerry, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service in South Kerry, as a chaotic system. Still no child or adolescent consultant in Kerry since 2016, almost 4 years, or about 4 years. And that's still the case, isn't that right?
That is still the case. The post is funded since 2016, and over the last 18 months, on two occasions, they were successfully able to recruit somebody who declined the position. Also, currently what's in place at the moment is there is no permanent consultant, but there is a consultant psychiatrist who works 2 days a week in Kerry and works
is obviously completely inaughate.
Inadequate.
When the Taoiseach spoke about this in the Dáil today, he said the absence of a consultant was not a resource issue.
No, it's not a resource issue.
He said there
have
been ongoing difficulties in recruiting for such posts in certain parts of the country, which I found interesting. What does that mean, certain parts of the country?
So there are particular areas in the country. So say, for example, I'll give you an example. In Wexford, it took 1.5 years to recruit a consultant psychologist into Wexford recently. There are huge issues up in Donegal in relation to recruiting dietitians. And down in Kerry, as we know, a post that's funded with 6 years, we have not been able to secure somebody to take up that post.
So basically rural parts of the country or anywhere outside of the main cities.
It's quite difficult to, yes.
What is the message from central government here in terms of if you're a child or a parent of a child who has a mental health need or a psychiatric need, don't expect an adequate service, is that right?
Well, I suppose we have 72 CAMHS teams all throughout the country to support children all over the country. They're multidisciplinary teams, but it is difficult. It is difficult to have a full complement of staff. But the multidisciplinary team will always be led by a consultant psychiatrist. And when you don't have that clinical lead, and I suppose, you know, one of the recommendations was in the absence of a full-time consultant, there should be one identified clinical lead. That did not happen.
Can I ask you about the nationwide investigation now that the Taoiseach spoke of at lunchtime? What form will that take?
Okay, so the first thing is when you are a member of a CAMHS team and you're delivering services to children, there's standard operating procedures. So these obviously did not happen down in Kerry. So there will be a full audit nationwide of compliance with these operational guidelines by all CAMHS teams. The second piece, though, in addition, a prescribing audit. So these are children who are medicated under CAMHS. An independent random prescribing audit will be conducted in each of the 72 CAMHS teams to include a random selection of files proportionate to the medical caseload for a continuous 6-month predefined time period before 2021. That's how the red flag was raised in Kerry when they did a random audit. And this is what I have looked for and what I have secured in all 72 CAMHS cases. Also in relation to Kerry, I spoke to the chief officer this morning. He is also going to do a random audit of North Kerry because we know for a fact there was concerns in relation to 20 children in North Kerry where this non-consultant doctor also attended to their care when he was present in North Kerry for a while. So that's ongoing again and that will be independent.
Yes or no, will the children in Kerry, will they be given a redress scheme?
I'm not sure will it be a redress scheme. As I've said, I've met with the Taoiseach last night. I met with Minister Donnelly. We are very open to looking at everything. But again, today is the children, especially the 46 children with significant harm.
For the moment, Minister Mary Butler, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Cormac.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
We're going to hear now from Kate, whose daughter is 9 years old. Kate told Drive Time on Monday about her experiences with South Kerry CAMHS, which began in 2020. Early in her first appointment, the doctor at the centre of this report diagnosed Kate's daughter with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. He prescribed the drug risperidone, a powerful antipsychotic drug. A second doctor later doubled her dose. Her anxiety and meltdowns cleared up, but Kate told us her daughter lost her sparkle. Then a third doctor took her off the drug altogether, leading to disturbing withdrawal symptoms. Kate told us there were virtually no medical notes about the care her daughter received. I've been speaking to Kate this afternoon to hear her reaction to today's report.
So I received a physical copy from the HC today in the post at 12 p.m. But obviously before that, I had heard that the report had been released online and via the HSE's website at 9 a.m, which is where I actually looked at it first. So very disappointing to hear it via the media once again and have to access it without the HSE contacting us first.
OK, we were speaking to Minister Mary Butler just a short time ago, and she described this as a comprehensive, hard-hitting report. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely not. I'm very disappointed and frustrated with the HSE's handling of the review. I personally would challenge, I suppose, its scope, its accuracy, its completeness. Basically, I can't see how they have done a thorough review if they know for a fact that medical records are missing. And in my daughter's case, medical records were missing. So how can they base results on information that they don't have and that they never asked for?
Because, of course, the report claims that no extreme or catastrophic harm occurred, but you're saying in your own instance, for example, they couldn't know that for sure in your daughter's case because they didn't ask to look.
No, and we obviously applied for our records via Freedom of Information, so we know that there's no records of what happened to our daughter. It's not recorded in her chart, and they never asked us about what did happen to her, so they can't say that she didn't come to harm as a result of what happened to her. They acknowledge that she was misprescribed medication, but they don't acknowledge the fact that she came to harm as a result of being on that medication. And I suppose I take huge issue with the wording of the review, and I think the way it's being reported is very misleading. They're saying, I suppose, that only 46 children came to significant harm, but what the review actually states that there is clear evidence of 46 children coming to harm from the review of the files. So that's evidence that they only have. What about potentially the other hundreds of children who came to harm that it's not recorded for? And I think a lot of families are probably feeling in the same position today.
And do you know if your daughter is one of those 46 children deemed by the report for which there is evidence to have suffered serious harm, or is it that she couldn't possibly be because, as you say, there was no documentation of her care?
To the best of my knowledge, she's not one of the ones included in that. And I go from the meeting that we had with the HSE where our daughter was categorised as only having come to moderate harm. But the reason she wasn't in the severe category was because she had been seen by a consultant in the September. But as I pointed out in the review, I don't see how seeing a consultant changed what happened to her. She was still prescribed this medication. She was left on this medication. She suffered withdrawals as a result of being on it and having to come off it, and all the problems with her bloods as a result as well.
And what level of harm would you rate as her mother, having lived with her, obviously cared for her, looked after her during that time and since? What level of harm would you rate her as having suffered as a result of all that?
I would say significant to severe. This is a child who was referred to the service as a result of having a needle phobia, and as a result of being on this medication, she had to have up to 10 sets of bloods that were completely unnecessarily needed to be done, and she lived her worst trauma. How do you quantify the effect that that has had on her and will have on her going forward, and on us, and the stress it's caused our family?
One of the questions that we put to Mary Butler a little earlier on was what difference it would have made if when concerns about the care given to children when they were raised in 2018, first, if action had been taken at that point. I wonder, what difference do you know would it have made to your daughter's life if action was taken in 2018?
In our case, none of what has occurred to us or happened to my child over the past year would ever have occurred if he had been taken to task and concerns had been followed up with. I was just reading the report earlier today. I've just been coming in and out of it in bits and pieces, but there were talks of taking him in front of the medical council in 2019, and none of that occurred. I mean, this man was continued to allow to practice despite his colleagues having this level of concern that, you know, he needed to go potentially before a fitness to practice inquiry. And he was allowed to continue prescribing medication. We saw him in June 2020. So as far as I'm concerned, my daughter should never have come in contact with this doctor.
And how does that make you feel, Kate, to know that this potentially could and should have been avoided?
Oh, I don't have words for the levels of upset and anger that I am feeling and that my husband is feeling and our, you know, close family are feeling today, having seen the torture and the drama and what my daughter suffered over the last year and the ongoing impact that it has had. It just, I just couldn't put words to it, to be honest.
Again, when we were speaking to Mary Butler earlier, Cormac was asking her if there's going to be a redress scheme for the patients involved in this instance. Now, Mary Butler said that hadn't been decided yet, but that she had a meeting earlier with Minister Stephen Donnelly and that the government or the ministers will be very open to looking at everything, is how she put it. Do you think there should be a redress scheme or payment for the children who have been mistreated, it looks like, by the doctor involved and the HSE?
Absolutely, 100%. If my daughter went to see a doctor or a surgeon and something went wrong with her surgery and she got a physical injury as a result of that, she would be entitled to compensation and redress. And I don't see why it is any different for mental health. I think that the HSE will probably say, oh, they can't quantify the impact on mental health, but I don't think that's any excuse not to look at compensating our children. And in most cases, I have no doubt that any financial, you know, settlements that were given to families would be used to actually provide care for their children going forward, because there currently are no functioning mental health services in Kerry.
And that is Kate, whose daughter is now 9 years old and who was treated by South Kerry CAMHS beginning in 2020. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Keith Rowles, who is a partner and solicitor at Coleman Legal, which represents 80 families affected by this issue. And thank you for joining us this evening, Keith. Can I ask you, how are those 80 families responding this evening to the report's findings?
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to commend Kate there. I'm sure she's appreciated by all of the clients that are instructing our office. Very difficult for her to come on the radio and speak about her own personal circumstances. And unfortunately, these are the circumstances that families throughout the county of Kerry are experiencing, both in South Kerry and in North Kerry.
And how are they responding to the report's findings this evening?
They're angry and they're very upset. Unfortunately, some of my clients haven't seen the report yet. They didn't receive it in the post. I have forwarded on to them the PDF document that I have, that I received this morning. The few that have had a chance to review it are shocked. Similar to Kate, they have a different understanding of what catastrophic harm and significant harm means. And I have sat in the sitting rooms, in the kitchens, in the houses around the county, and I certainly have a different understanding of what the HSE perceives as catastrophic harm.
Some of your clients have been told that no harm came to their children. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's documented in the report. 1,100 families throughout South Kerry have received no harm correspondence as a result of the look back review team. However, some of the clients that have instructed our office and that we represent have subsequently wrote and contacted the HSE and taken huge issue with the contents of the correspondence. And we've attended meetings where apologies have been offered and deficits in care have been acknowledged. And I have huge concerns over the number of families who have received a no harm correspondence and are completely unaware, probably know themselves that their child has been subjected to harm, but it's a very difficult situation for them to be faced with when they're receiving correspondence that their files have been allegedly comprehensively reviewed and there's no harm. One must remember that missing medical records does not constitute no harm. Mm.
I know the Taoiseach today has promised a full nationwide audit of compliance with CAMHS operational guidelines by all CAMHS teams, and also a prescribing audit will be conducted in each of the 72 CAMHS teams. Does that reassure your clients?
Well, it does, but I mean, unfortunately, my clients have already been subjected to this treatment, but I think it's absolutely necessary that a national audit is undertaken. It's quite obvious from the situation in North Kerry and the situation that will develop very shortly in North Kerry that there are certain huge issues in this county, and we can only hope that they're not as severe in other counties, but due to the fact that there isn't, as Mr. Fitzgerald said this morning, speaking on behalf of the HSE, there isn't enough consultants in the country to monitor all these non-consultant hospital doctors. So the HSE need to proceed very cautiously going forward.
Yeah, and just on that point, the Taoiseach also said today that the absence of a consultant in South Kerry for child and adolescent mental health services, he said it wasn't a resources issue, it was problems with recruiting. And we also heard that from Mary Butler as well. Do your clients accept that?
They don't, because look, we fundamentally believe it is a resources problem, and due to the fact that there was insufficient resources, these treating doctors have come up with a chemical intervention, and this isn't just one doctor, this is a team effort. You know, there's no accountability here, there's no leadership, there's no clinical oversight here. It's a problem from top to bottom. The governance here has to be called into question. This non-consultant doctor, the subject of this report, was not monitored for 4 years. There was alarm bells raised, flags were raised, and he was, you know, he was provided advices as opposed to being instructed by his superiors. It really is hard to believe. We've had a preliminary review of the report. We have to, our medical legal team has reviewed it here in Common Legal. We're very concerned about it, and we'll certainly be reverting to the HSE regarding same. We have written to the HSE on two occasions. We've requested to meet them. I think we stand in a very unique position that we represent such a large volume of clients, and we've attended these HSE meetings. But the HSE needs to meet all the legal representatives of the families. This isn't the Common Legal endeavour. This is an endeavour on behalf of the South Kerry Cairns patients who've been subjected to these deficits in care. And all these patients need to be acknowledged. The HSE really needs to take action, and actions certainly do speak louder than words. We welcome apologies, but these need, you know, the correct practices needs to be put in place, and our clients, the patients of CAMHS, need to ensure that they have the correct treatment in place. And unfortunately, this isn't the case.
And just finally, in relation to the action that might or should happen from now, Keith, we heard Kate there saying that she believes there should be redress for the patients affected. Is that something that you think you might end up representing or asking for on behalf of your clients?
Well, absolutely. These are medical negligence proceedings. Our clients have been subjected to medical negligence. We've approached the HSE. We've requested meetings with them. And until they're willing to engage with us, we'll proceed. And the way we always do with a medical negligence file, these clients of ours, the patients of the HSE, have been subjected to horrific deficits in care. We have to be conscious that, as in Kate's position, her daughter should have never crossed paths with this non-consultant hospital doctor. Mm. Kate's daughter is 9 years of age. I mean, I have clients that are talking to our offices that are 9 years of age, and they've been on this medication for a third of their lives. The impact can only be clarified in due course, but we have grave concerns as to what consequences this treatment will have on our clients.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Keith Rowles, who is a partner and solicitor at Coleman Legal, representing 80 of the families affected.